You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
I'd like to offer a word of prayer. Father, I surrender myself to you now, both to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. Anoint these lips of clay. Control this tongue. Control my mind, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might take the words that fall from my lips and that be planted into the cultivated parts of your mind, that it might cause you to see you and me to see me, that I might come saying, what must I do to be saved? And then, Lord, we ask that you bless the hearts and minds of those that are on Zoom this morning, that they might hear and find a way to some church home, Lord, that they might come saying, what must I do to be saved? For all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 23. I'll read from chapter 23, verses 37 through 39, and two verses of the 24th chapter. It says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wing, and ye would not. But behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till I say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed, from the temple, and his disciples came to him, for he showed him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, that they shall not be thrown down. Our emphasis is on that first verse of the 24th chapter. And he went out and departed from the temple. And the disciples came to him, for he showed him the building of the temple. And from those verses that I read, the thought that a theme that I would like to add to those particular verses is Jesus has left the building. Jesus has left the building. Matthew's gospel was written to the Jew. He gave the genealogy of Christ being from David to Abraham to show that he was the king and that he was the Messiah that they were seeking for.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But they refused to accept that for what it was. And one word that was key, that was spoken many times in the book of Matthew, it was fulfilled. It was fulfilled. That particular additive that you heard, Jesus has left the building, might sound familiar to you. It was commonly known by something that was said about Elvis. Horace Lee Logan in 1956 first penned this phrase for the public announcer address at the conclusion of the concert of Elvis Presley. He did this to disperse the audience, to stop them from lingering, and to let them know that there would not be There would not be an encore. There would not be an encore. Now, when we say Jesus has left the building, it has both a literal, figurative, and a metaphor meaning. But when instead of Aaron, when instead of Elvis, it only has a literal meaning. Because it was said that the people might leave and that the crowd might disperse and that he wouldn't come back to do an encore. But Jesus is coming back to do an encore. And the question is asked, will you be ready? Will you be ready? He came at the beginning of the Passover and he cleansed the temple the first time. And you can see that in John chapter 2, verse 13 through 25. And he said to them in that, he says, this is the house of God. It shall be the house of prayer, to paraphrase it. But you have made it a house of thieves. And then he's reminded them that he said, in 3 days, he shall destroy this temple. And in 3 days, it shall be raised up. Then he said it to them again at the second time that he cleansed the temple. He reminded them in Matthew 21, Mark 11, and Luke 19 that you might destroy this temple, but in 3 days it will be raised up. But then we see as Matthew begins his gospel, he talks about Jesus' flight from Egypt with his father and his stepmother. He talked about Herod that had slaughtered the innocent children. He's talked about the ministry of John the Baptist as it began.
Yes, Lord.
And then he left and he went to Capernaum and he started his ministry. And he did his first miracle there by changing water to wine.
Yes, all right.
But then he started his first public sermon at the Mount of Olives. That's where he started, where he ended his ministry, at the Mount of Olives. And he gave 8 Beatitudes. And we see at the beginning of chapter 23, he gave 8 woes to the church. But in the Beatitudes, he said something, and all these Beatitudes correspond with the woes that he gave. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. But then he turned around, and the first woe, he says, they agonized God, unwilling to let the common people come to him. Then he says, blessed are they that mourn. But then in the woes, he says, you oppressed and you are hypocrites. You agree and you pretend to be holy. He says, blessed are the meek. But then he turns around in the woes, he says, damnation of the soul. You pretend to have a zeal for God, but you are contrary to his will. Then he said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And he said in the woe, he says, you offer false vows. You make vows to me, but you fail to keep them. He says, blessed are the merciful. Then he turns around, he says, you outward show that you support me, but you are like men with dead bones or the dead sepulchres. Then he says, blessed are they which persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he said, you are false cleaners. You clean the outside of the bowl and the cup with the inside is messed up. And he says, blessed are ye when you shall revile you, when men shall revile you. He said, you self-righteous hypocrites that you are. All you do to please yourself. Now, he was talking to 3 groups of people here. He was talking to the crowd. He was talking to his disciples. And he was talking to the Pharisees and scribes as he described these things.
Yes, sir.
Now, of all the people that should have known, the Pharisees and scribes, the teachers of the law, should have known who he was and why he came and what he meant when he made these things. But they were so busy caught up with power, prestige, and chasing money. Don't let money be the root of all evil to you. He challenged the people to pursue righteousness greater than that of their leaders. many people followed him, and we saw in the last couple of weeks in our Sunday school lesson, as long as he was performing miracles, as long as he was feeding them, as long as he was doing all the things that they thought that met their physical need, they would follow him. But once he made one crazy request, they lost their way and they stopped following. He said, "You shall eat my flesh and drink my blood." And many stopped following him. Then he asked his disciple, "Will you too stop following me?" Just like not all of them followed him because of what they wanted. Most of it did it because of an ego. Don't let your ego be the only reason that you follow Christ. Follow him because you believe in him, that you trust him, and you acknowledge that he is the Son of God, just like he said he was. Don't be a hypocrite like the religious people were. They were hypocrites because they were pretenders and actors. Don't be a pretender. Don't be an actor. Because people are watching us day and night. They are watching us. They're watching our words and they're watching our actions. Be true to who we say we are. Just like Jesus was true to who he said he was. He said, "I am the Son of God that came to save you from your sin." So we have to be true as children of God to who we say we are. If we say that we are children of God, let us show that we are children of God. Yet, we see here Jesus opened this 37th verse with a cry. "Woe, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet and stone them which are sent unto thee. How often I would have gathered thee together, even as a hen gathered her children, her chickens under her wing, and would not do so." A couple of months ago, and recently it's something that's been advertised on Facebook, and it was also shown on the news, to give you an illustration of what I'm speaking of, or what Jesus is speaking of here. He gave an illustration that they could understand what he meant when he made this statement about a chicken gathering her hens, her biddies under her wing. Yes. Now, if you're from the city, you might not get this. But if you're from the country, it'll make sense to you. A guinea hen was what he was making reference to here. And they was making reference to this on Facebook and on the news. This snake slithered its way into the nest where the hen was covering her biddies. And that particular hen fought that snake with everything she had. She defeated him and caused him to slither away, not being able to kill any of her chicks. So what Jesus was saying to the Jews, he said, "I want to be like that to you. I want to protect you from everything that was coming your way. I want to protect you from everything I already hurt, harm and danger that might come your way. But you wouldn't allow me to. You wouldn't allow me to. You wouldn't even believe in me. You wouldn't even accept me for who I said I was. You were looking for a different Messiah. You were looking for one to come as a king on a big white horse, riding with a big sword to conquer Rome. Well, he came as a meek child in the manger, and they lost sight of who he was. They wanted more from him than what he offered. But he came just like he did to come, for them and for us. Because he also said he's coming back again. And what will you be ready when he, how will you be ready when he come back again? Well, he did one thing when he said this about the hen. He showed, he demonstrated his love for Israel.
Yes, he did.
Just like he demonstrated his love for us today. And like he continues to demonstrate his love for us each and every day that he gives us the opportunity to wake in our right mind. Yeah. And he gives us the opportunity to have activities with our limb. And he gives us an opportunity to go wherever we want to. He's demonstrating his love for each and every one of us. But just like Israel, they didn't hear and refused to hear. Just like this world today, refused to hear and refused to see the sign as they are being shown to us. But then he goes on and he says something in the rest of this 24th chapter. He says to his disciples, even though you're looking at the temple as the outward temple, you're looking at all the gold that's inside. You're more concerned about that. You're more concerned about Herod's temple and David's temple and how it was constructed, but you're missing the big picture. You're missing the big picture. All this will be torn down. All this will be torn down. But he gave the signs that they might understand what he was saying. Jesus went on to say to his disciples in this 24th chapter of Matthew, he said, these are the signs that you might see of my second coming. This is the encore that he was making reference to. And we see it today if we're honest with ourselves and we pay attention to what's happening in this world. There's plenty of deception out here. There's much deception out here about so many things.
Yes, sir.
From the White House to the outhouse, there's so much deception. And we see all people claiming to be Christ, and they are claiming as false Christs. We see that wars and rumors of war. We see wars being talked about from the White House to all overseas. We see people storming the White House in protest to what they believe in. And wars and rumors of wars. We also see famine. Look at how many people are in line today trying to get a meal. We see famine all over the world. People crying out for their hunger. We see the pestilence, and we see the proof of the pestilence today because look at this virus that has taken hold to not just this part of the world, but all over the world. We see this pestilence that's taking place. They got a second strain that's coming out. They say now you got to wear two masks. So in some cases, some people are wearing three masks. But if God don't keep you, you can wear all the masks you want to. If God don't keep you, it don't make a difference. It don't make a difference at all. It don't make a difference at all what you put on. If you don't have on the armor of God, it won't work. It won't work. It won't work. Then we see earthquakes. Just 2 weeks ago, it was an earthquake in Detroit, some parts of Michigan. When is the last time you heard of, we don't normally hear of earthquakes in this part of the country. California, yeah, California, that's what they do all the time. It's an earthquake all the time in California. But in Michigan, those are the signs that we need to pay attention to. Those are the signs that we need to pay attention to, knowing that Jesus is coming back just like he said he would. We see a strong sign of anti-Semitic.
Yes, sir.
They're attacking the Jews. They're attacking everybody that believes in Christ. Yes. Not only the Jews, but if you claim Christ as your Savior, be prepared to be attacked by the enemy. Yes, we see offenses all around us. We people are being offended by every little thing. You can't say nothing now without being offended by offending somebody. We see betrayal. Look how easy we people are betraying each other this day for just a little or nothing. They taking each other's lives like gumball. They just, whenever you put something in, they're dispensing out. They're just taking somebody's life because of betrayal. We see hatred. We have never seen this sort of hatred in my lifetime. Now, there have always been hatred, but in this current climate, we see more hatred than we ever seen before. We see more hatred than we ever seen before. We see many false prophets coming saying that I'm the Christ. They're claiming, naming and claiming, that's what they're telling us to do. But you can't name it and claim it if you don't believe in who you say you blame, you calling on. How can you claim something? We don't have the privilege or the right to claim anything. It's only by God's will that we get what we give. We see lawlessness abounding all around us. We people don't care nothing about law, civil or moral law anymore. They don't care anything about any laws whatsoever. It's what I want to do, whatever I want to do. It don't matter to who it hurts, who it complains. I'm going to do what I want to do. We see love has decreased so much in this time. There was a time when I was growing up that people showed love. You could see love. They would go out of their way to help each other. They would do everything they could for their fellow brothers, no matter who they were. They can even be, if Mr. John saw that you was in need, he didn't care. He would come down the street and do for you because he loved you and he cared for you just like you care for your family. And you would do the same for him. We wouldn't even have to lock doors back in that day. People were walking to each other's house. They were walking to my grandmother's house to get what they want and go about their business and leave a note. I was here and I got it and I'll give it back to you when I get it. That's what love was. Well, we don't have that kind of love. We don't trust each other anymore. We don't even love each other anymore. But hope be that, my hope to God is that we can see an increase in missionary work. That we reach out to people. That we care for people. That we give to people like we want somebody to give to us. But then we see here, as it's stated in this last clause of the 39th verse of this particular verse, it says, "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till I say, blessed is he." He was talking to the Jews. And he was saying this to them because he was reminded, we were reminded by Paul in the book of Romans. And I'll be reading this from the NIV version. He said in Romans 10, verse 1, 3, and 4. He said, "Brother, my heart desire and prayer for God, for Israelites, is that they might be saved." And the same thing applies to us today. God wants you to be saved today. In verse 3, he says, "Since they did not know the righteousness of that came from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that they may be righteousness forever who believe." And then he went on to say, as he quote, he makes this quote, he's making reference to the Gentiles. He said, "The Gentile world power will be on their course." And then Luke picks it up in his gospel, and he says, Luke 21 and 24, he says, "They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled." People is coming closer and closer to that time, to the time where the Gentiles will be filled. Then he reminds us, he says, "Even when the elect number of the Gentiles will be sought and brought in." Then he picks it up in Romans chapter 11, Paul did in verse 25 through 27. He says, "I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother, so that you may not be conceited. Israel was experienced a hardness in the part until the full number of the Gentile has come." And the time is coming. We don't know when that last child, when that last person is going to accept Christ as their personal savior. But you should be raptured ready at all times, not knowing when that time will be. And then he went on to say in that 26th verse, "And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion, and he will turn good godliness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them, that I will take away their sin." So the question is today to you is, Jesus left the building then. Truly he did. And no doubt he left the building, but you don't have to let him leave your life today. If you're willing to accept him as your personal savior, if you're willing to believe the gospel message that has been preached from generation to generation, from down to the time, that he came at the birth of a virgin, and that he lived here some 33 years, And then he walked this earth and he did good. He healed the blind, he raised the sick, and he raised the dead.
Thank you, Lord.
He came that we might be saved. Yes, and then he took up an old Roman cross one day, and he marched up a hill called Calvary. And he allowed them to lay him on that cross, and they put ribbons in his hand and ribbons in his feet. And they put a crown of thorn on his head. And they pierced him in the side. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We're trying to lift him up for you this morning. And he said, when he done all he could do, and he from the sixth to the ninth hour, he's hung there. And he died for you and I. And they took him down off that cross, and they put him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed there for 3 days and three nights. But early Sunday morning, he got up that we might have a right to the tree of life. But he said something else. He said, I'm coming back again. So don't let the encore catch you sleeping and out of the way. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. Will you be ready?
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.